You're listening to Extinct, a podcast about dead things. I'm Alice Leggett. Together, we'll explore the stories of species that have existed over millions of years, from the earliest forms of life to those that died out more recently, as well as modern biodiversity loss and conservation initiatives. Hello, you're listening to Extinct. In this episode, we're discussing the impact of feral cats in Australia and how they are contributing to the extinction of many of the country's wildlife. Cats were first introduced to Australia by colonisers from 1788 and then spread into wild populations, which are now having a significant impact on native species. The Australian government recognises cats as a key threatening process and have introduced a range of policies to try and reduce the impact cats have on native species. We have wildlife ecologist Professor Sarah Legg on the show to tell us more about feral cats. She is a professor at Charles Darwin University, an honorary professor at the Australian National University, and a member of the Biodiversity Council. Professor Legg has more than 30 years of experience in research and conservation management and has been part of a number of projects looking into conservation and the impact of feral cats and other invasive species. Sarah, thanks so much for joining us. Before we begin, can you tell us a bit about yourself and what got you into conservation and ecology?
Yeah, sure. Well, I'm from Scotland originally, and when I lived there, I always loved roaming the hills. So I was always into nature, attracted to nature from a very young age. And so, of course, at school, I was advised to do veterinary because that's what you told kids who were interested in animals. But when I got to university at Edinburgh, I realised that there were many other options if you wanted to engage with the natural world but didn't necessarily want to be treating sick animals. So that's when I really got very interested in research, conservation, and how you could use that information to look after the environment. And I've always had a particular thing for cats, actually. So my first job in Scotland was as a kind of an intern, but on a Scottish wildcat project. And then after that, I moved from Scotland. After I finished uni, I moved to Tanzania, and I worked as a research assistant on a lion project for 4 years. And then after that, I came to Australia and eventually started working on feral cats here. So I feel like I've got a cat thing going on.
It's great that you've been able to follow a passion for cats in that way, even though you've had different focuses along the way. But with cats being the common link, I think that's really interesting.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, I'm interested in all animals. And, you know, most of my work's been on mammals, on birds, on how you manage fire, grazing, and feral animals to protect native species. So that's really what my expertise is, but cats have been a recurring theme.
It's good that we're here to talk about cats then, for sure. Speaking of, what is the current state of feral cats in Australia and how have they become such a significant problem?
So cats are just the most superb invader. They've actually reached every continent because they've existed as a pet on Antarctica, but they're not there as a wild population. But in the Australian context, they got brought here in 1788 at colonisation, and they took about 20 years to find their feet in the Sydney area, and then they started spreading across the continent, often helped by people who would take kittens and cats with them. But they were also then later introduced to other places like around Perth and in Tasmania. But once they got going, they spread across the continent in about 70 years, so pretty quick. And they now occur in absolutely every habitat. So they're in deserts, they're in rainforests, and they're in towns and cities too. And their population fluctuates between about 2.1 million and 6.4 million depending on the conditions. So if we've had a run of very dry years, it would be closer to the 2.1 end. And if we've had one or two of those really big rain events that occur across inland Australia, then the population will tick upwards to over 6 million. Most of the time, it's probably around 2.8 million on average. So yeah, they're great invaders. They're really adaptable to lots of different environments, and they've got very flexible diets. They can prey on a lot of different species, and they've been introduced to a continent where there was nothing like cats. So the indigenous fauna hadn't co-evolved with anything like a cat. So they just couldn't cope with the type of superlative predator that a cat is.
That makes sense. And those numbers are quite shocking. And I guess particularly for people who live in metro areas who wouldn't really come across a lot of feral cats, mostly just domestic cats, you know, on the street, the numbers are quite surprising. It's a lot. There's a lot of cats out there.
It's a lot of cats, but strangely enough, the population size of pet cats is even higher. So there's now over 5 million pet cats. So recall I said most of the time there's probably about 2.8 million feral cats. So let's call it 3 million. But there's actually over 5 million pet cats. The numbers went up during the COVID era. And they're all concentrated in towns, suburbs, cities. So they're at really high density. And they also prey on native animals. So between the two types of cats, feral cats and pet cats, we do have a significant problem.
When you're looking at cats and the vast number of cats with, you know, this large population we have in Australia, what sort of research methods do you use when you're looking into this issue?
So personally, I've engaged with cats through a whole different array of ways, I guess, but I've done fieldwork directly on cats and their prey. So where you try and follow individuals by catching them and marking them, maybe radio collaring them. And what you're trying to do is work out how cats use the landscape, how native species are affected by cats, you know, are they being killed by cats? And how do those things change when you vary management of other big disturbance factors like fire and grazing? So I've done some of that work directly myself. I've supervised a lot of students and postdocs who've worked on those issues. And then in the past few years, I've worked with colleagues where what we've tried to do is really understand the kind of the bigger picture of cats in Australia. So we've tried to collect together all the evidence of cat impacts over the past 200 or so years. So what species do they affect? How do they affect them? What's the extent of decline? Have they caused extinctions? And then also what their impacts are now. So those estimates of the overall population size was work that colleagues and I did with lots of collaborators. So, you know, we've been working out what their population size is, how many native animals they're eating, what sort of native animals they're eating. So, you know, what the predation toll is and which native species are most vulnerable to the impacts of cats now, today. So we've looked at both cat impacts in the past and then cat impacts now.
And speaking of predation and vulnerability, what are some of the species that are most at risk or most vulnerable? And also, are there species that we've already lost as a result of the cat incursion?
Yeah, so the most vulnerable and native species to cat predation are ground-dwelling animals. So mostly mammals, but can also be birds and reptiles. In the sort of size range that you would imagine a cat could easily prey on, so from about 30 grams to up to about, you know, 400 or 500 grams. But cats will take prey of up to 4 kilos, so you know, pretty adaptable, but native species in that sort of small to medium-sized range are the most vulnerable. And also species that live in more open habitats, so deserts or semi-arid areas, they're more vulnerable than species that live, for example, in rainforests, so, you know, much more complex, thick vegetation. And yes, cats have already caused decline, so Australia's got the worst record for mammal extinction in the entire world, with over 30 native species extinct in the past 200, 250 years. Of that total, cats have been the main culprit, like the main cause of extinction in about two-thirds of those species. And some of these, I mean, all of them, were delightful. Things like pig-footed bandicoots and a few species of hopping mice. A lot of people don't realise that they're familiar with the bilby, but they don't realise that we actually had two species of bilbies. There was another one called the lesser bilby, and it went extinct mainly because of cat predation. Some animals went extinct so fast that we barely have any record of them. So an example of that would be the central hare wallaby, where we've just got the jaw to tell us that it existed. So cat impacts were extensive. They affected a lot of species, mostly mammals. So they did cause extinction of a couple of bird subspecies on islands, and they happened very fast.
That's terribly sad to hear about the number of species that we've already lost. And I guess we'll never know about, as you said, that species of wallaby that is just a jawbone left. It's terrible, of course.
Yeah, it's awful.
Are there areas of the country that have been more severely impacted than others by these feral cat populations?
Yeah, there are. You know, I was sort of alluding to before, the areas that are more open, so arid areas, semi-arid areas, have the cat impacts there worse than mesic rainforests and mesic wet forests, even though cats live there and can be at quite high densities. But I think in those environments that native animals find it easier to evade the cat. Also in southern Australia, where we also have rabbits introduced again, but one of the things that rabbits do is provide a secure, if you like, food base for cats and also foxes. So cat numbers and fox numbers are elevated in the presence of rabbits, and that means that there's more of them to prey on native species. So I'd say southern Australia is more heavily pressured by cats, and particularly the more open environments. The other place in Australia that are the sorts of places that where cat impacts can be really high are islands. So a lot of our islands, for example, support seabird breeding colonies. And if cats are on those islands, they can have pretty severe impacts on breeding success for those seabird species.
That makes sense. And what measures have been taken to address this issue? And do you think that they've been successful or need improvement to curb these cat populations?
We have had some success. It's actually worth saying that in Australia, cat impacts have been profound, but that has kind of, I guess, spurred the conservation science and management community to investigate cats and their impacts and come up with ways of managing them. So we know more about cats in Australia and more about how to manage them than most countries. Like other countries that might come close might be places like New Zealand, but you know, we know a lot about the problem there. And so the way I always think about how we've tackled the problem in my mind is to think about it in terms of the species that we're trying to protect, because that's why you control cats. So for species that are really sensitive to cat predation, where even a low density of cats causes their populations to decline, what we've been doing, what Australia has been doing for those species, is getting them into safe havens. And what I mean by that is a place where cats are absent. So it could either be an island where cats never reached or where cats have been eradicated, or it could be a large fenced area on the mainland. So the fence is built, cats are eradicated, and then native species are reintroduced. And that safe haven approach has really ramped up in the last 20 or so years. And it's making an enormous contribution to preventing extinction or reducing extinction risk for a whole range of mammal species in particular. So off the top of my head, for example, at the moment there are 8 species and I think it's 13 subspecies that exist only in a safe haven. So they're only on a cat-free island or in a cat-free fenced area. So if we hadn't built those havens, those 8 species would be extinct. So that's been successful. But I guess the caveat to that is it's successful, but up to a point in terms of we've stopped the extinction. But in most cases, these native species are only surviving now on, you know, less than 1% of their previous distribution. A lot of them used to occur right across Australia. They've gone from that entire landscape, and then they're persisting in 1, 2, 3, 4 fenced areas and islands. So we haven't lost them, but we're not where we want to be, which is getting them into the open landscape. So that's one set of actions. And for species that are sensitive to cats, but not so much. So in other words, they can survive as long as you pull the cat density down. We've got some good examples now where intensive cat control over biggish areas is helping to keep native species in the game. So a good example of that would be Southwest WA, where they use 1080 to bait annually across, I think it's about 15,000 square kilometres. And that's helping to maintain populations of things like numbats and woylies, fascagales and dibblers and so on. And then, you know, there's a whole heap of native species that cats prey on. So they suffer some population decline and they just need a little bit of help with respect to cats to be able to persist in the presence of cats. And for those sorts of species, doing things like managing fire and grazing so that you keep a nice thick layer of vegetation on the ground so that native animals can escape a hunting cat more easily. Doing things like that helps maintain populations. And it's possible in some cases that just leaving dingoes alone, as in not persecuting them, could be enough to affect the behavior of cats in a way that native species benefit. So there's a whole range of things that we're doing, from really intensive, like the mainland fenced areas, to less intensive, like farm management, that are having some success. But we've still got so much to do, so much more to do. We need more tools to help us manage feral cats in different sorts of environments. And, you know, ultimately, the thing that we all want to do is to get rid of them entirely from the landscape, so there's no more feral cats. But we're a ways off achieving that.
With these safe havens and these measures, do you think that it's realistic for these species that we're protecting from feral cats to make a return to what was their natural environments if feral cats are still present?
Look, at the moment, I would say no. We don't have a pathway for doing that. But that doesn't mean that keeping them in these safe havens isn't a good idea, because we need to keep them so that, you know, maybe in 20 years we have a pathway to get them back out into the open landscape. But the sort of things that people are playing around with now is there's some synthetic biology that people are investigating. So the option of using gene drives to try and force sterility through the cat population, for example, or there is a couple of groups looking in disease options. There's also some people trying to figure out whether they can accelerate selection in native species. So what I mean there is, if you could expose populations of native species to a very low level of cats, so there's some cat predation, so you're basically trying to put on some selection pressure on your natives so that the individuals that are better at recognizing what a cat is and evading the cat, you know, they're the ones that survive. Maybe if you could control that interaction so that it's just the right level, you could force natural selection in the native species. Who knows whether it can work? But all of these things are worth a try.
Certainly. And with that, what sort of trajectory are we looking at in terms of managing the feral cat population and also protecting these native species? What do you think about likely future scenarios for this situation?
Look, I think we've improved so much in terms of what we know about cats and how we make decisions about when and where and how to control them, you know, over the past decade, say. I feel like our trajectory is certainly much better now than it was 10 years ago, but we need to stay very much engaged, like keeping up the research and management effort if we want to prevent extinctions. If we take our foot off the pedal, we will lose species. Absolutely, that's guaranteed. So we need to keep the current effort up, but that includes looking for new control methods and as well as improving how we use the control options that are available to us now.
How does the issue of feral cats and other introduced predators into Australia tie into broader discussions about conservation and extinction in Australia, with us having currently such a high rate of biodiversity loss?
I think that probably a couple of points to be made there. I mean, Australia is unusual in the extent to which invasive species, including cats, have affected native species. So if you look globally, the key threats that have caused extinctions and declines tend to be overhunting and habitat loss. Whereas in Australia, invasives come right up to the top of the leaderboard. You know, they're probably kind of pegged with habitat loss, depending what group of animals you're looking at. It's always important to understand how your countries and your ecosystems are different compared to global norms. So in Australia, invasive species are a super big issue that we need to get across if we want to look after the native species. So they're big. And I guess the other point to make is that we're getting better at invasive species, but as you said, that the overall trajectory of ecosystems and species in Australia is just going down the plug hole. And the bottom line is that we're not investing enough as a country into looking after our environment. And we have lost, and we're still losing, key species that make our country unique. And that's terrible for so many reasons. Like, it's not fair to the species. It compromises how we can interact with and enjoy nature. And of course, there's no intergenerational equity at all if we're just going to sit on our hands and let these things go extinct. And as well as that, of course, when you're losing species and ecosystems are unraveling, really it's a sign that our own life support system is compromised. So, you know, it'll come back to bite us in many ways down the track. So to my mind, we're not investing nearly enough to look after our environment, and we need to ramp it up by orders of magnitude.
Of course, absolutely. And it's so important that we are making a conscious contribution and investment in the country's future in that sense, because this sort of issue is like a symptom of broader issues that are happening in terms of environmental problems. So it's certainly very important for sure. Can you discuss the ethical considerations surrounding the management of feral cat populations, such as culling and sterilization? Because as we've been talking about, of course, we want to reduce these populations, but how do we do this humanely?
Yeah, that's right. So whenever you're killing an animal, I think you have to consider how humane it is. And that includes not just whether the animal will suffer or experience pain, but is the action justified? Like, there's no point killing cats, for example, if it's not bringing down the population size, because cats can breed very quickly, or if it's not having the outcome that you want. So if you're killing cats, but it's not making a difference, to me, that would be unjustified and you shouldn't be doing it. So I think it's incredibly important that any invasive animal control is humane and justified. But, you know, on the other side of the ledger, you've got to consider the pain and suffering that cats are causing to native species by being in our landscapes. So it's not a straightforward equation for sure. But, you know, I guess one step back, you know, we have to make a choice whether we want our Australian ecosystems to harbour native endemic species, or whether we're happy to lose huge numbers of species and for our ecosystems to be inhabited by cats, rabbits, foxes and black rats and house mice. And if the answer is we want the endemics, then we have to act. But those actions should be humane and justified.
Absolutely. And how can people get involved in lessening the impact that cats are having on our native wildlife?
Well, there's a few ways. I mean, as I mentioned before, there are feral cats living around towns, and pet cats can leak into the feral population. So there's plenty of pet cats that have unwanted litters that become feral cats or stray cats living in towns, and so on it goes. So that's the area where individuals can have the most direct impact in helping the problem. So don't feed strays and feral cats. Get your own pet cats desexed. Keep your pet cats contained inside the house or in an outdoor fenced area like a catio. And incidentally, if you do that, your cat will live a longer, healthier life. The studies have shown that indoor cats live 3 to 4 times longer than pet cats that are allowed to roam outside. So it's a good thing to do for your cat. So do those things, and then get on to your local government councillors to pressure them to bring in better cat management in your local area. So better management of ferals and better management of pets. Lobby your state politicians to change the domestic animal legislation so that pet cat management in your state is improved. And then lobby your state and the federal politicians to get more focus on feral cat management, more investment in feral cat management. And basically, we all need to tell our politicians how much we care about biodiversity and the environment, because they're the decision makers, but they're reading the room. So, you know, we need to tell them how much we care about these things in order for them to focus and make the decisions that we want them to make.
Of course, I think that's very sensible. That makes sense. That brings me to the end of my questions. I really appreciate your time, Sarah, and thanks for delighting the audience of this podcast. I've learned a lot about cats and cat management in Australia.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
No, thank you. You've been listening to Extinct. I'm Alice Leggett. If you want to hear more about dead things, be sure to subscribe to the podcast. And don't forget to leave a rating or review. It helps Extinct reach more people who are passionate about the planet's past and future. Until next time, stay curious.